For our reading this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and read chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I wish to conclude there with verse. The Apostle Paul felt it needy and necessary to remind the believers there in Thessalonica that the day of the Lord is coming. And he spoke of that day of the Lord, and he intertwined that message of the day of the Lord coming with living in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord, living in a way that makes us to be ready for when that day of the Lord would come. Isaiah the prophet writes in that book of Isaiah, that thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so as we consider the scriptures throughout the day, my prayer is that we would recognize that we will hear a word behind us. We will hear God's word, and it will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. We pray together that we would be characterized as those who are of the day. And the Apostle Paul here is writing in Thessalonians that we are the children of the day. And so let's remember that we will hear a word behind us. It'll be the voice of the Holy Spirit, not a man's voice, but the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we will read here in this chapter, and we read here in this chapter, we will consider these things of the way that we should be walking and going forth in. We are not of this world. We are simply but pilgrims here upon this earth, and we are seeking a better land. The Apostle Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the Corinthians. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but those things which are not seen. This is the way of the Lord, that we are looking at those things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All these things that our senses can absorb, not only seeing, but hearing and smelling and tasting and touching, all these things, they're just temporal in nature. None of these things that we see or sense in this day, none of it will last through eternity. And so we are to to be looking to those things which are not seen and to those things which are eternal. We are to be pilgrims here upon this earth. Our citizenry is in heaven and not here upon this earth. We are spiritual beings now, being born again, having an earthly experience. We are looking at those things which are eternal. The Bible says in Hebrews about Abraham that he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, he was called from the land of Ur to go to the land of Canaan, but he was ultimately looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And likewise, we are looking for those things which are eternal. We're looking at those things which are not seen with our eyes, not those things which are temporal, but those things which are eternal. To a city, the New Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is God. Further in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off with spiritual eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight." These men have seen those promises which were afar off, but they saw them by faith and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Pilgrims and strangers here upon this earth. Not to be bound and so caught up in all this activity and all the things of this life and all the aspirations that can come with living in the flesh. But we're looking beyond. We're looking beyond. We're looking with eyes of faith. And once we've looked beyond and we see that there is a city whose builder and maker is God, and there is an everlasting habitation, then the things of this earth grow strangely dim. They grow strangely dim. The world, the things of this world cannot satisfy. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. If we're looking at those things which are eternal, we're declaring plainly that we're seeking a country that is eternal, that's in the heavens, a city whose builder and maker is God. And so we, with anticipation, look forward to this day of the Lord. Because then all these things that trouble our spirits, that trouble our souls, that where we go through these afflictions, will all be gone. And we will be in that bliss of eternity throughout all eternity. And so the Apostle Paul here begins this chapter by saying, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." And it's interesting that it seems he simply just parroted, he just simply reiterated the same words that Jesus Christ had said. That at that time when Jesus was resurrected, but not yet ascended unto the Father, and he's gathered together with his disciples, and they're now with that great anticipation, "Oh, our Lord is alive again. Our Lord is alive again." And they say to the Lord, "Wilt thou at this time now restore the kingdom to Israel?" Again, they were at this time they were blinded to that which was eternal. They were thinking upon those things which were temporal. They were concerned about having a kingdom here upon this earth. And so they're asking the Lord, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus simply says to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." It's the power of God. And there is a time and a season that the Lord will work his plan. And so the Apostle Paul here now is just simply saying the same thing that Jesus Christ said. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Because Jesus says that the times and the seasons is not for them to know. But that belongs to the power of God. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." We don't know when that day will be, but we know that of its suddenness, and we know of the impactfulness of the day of the Lord. The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's not by coincidence because it's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was inspiring the Apostle Paul, And the Holy Spirit was inspiring the Apostle Peter to write exactly these same things, that we know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. They both use the same words, the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord. If we are ready, if we are ready, if we have been walking in submission to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when we hear that voice behind us in our ears saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when we do that, the day of the Lord is a day of great joy, looking forward with great anticipation. But if we're walking in a carnal way, it is a day of dread. Malachi, as he's finishing the book, again inspired by the Holy Spirit, second to last verse of the Old Testament, calling the day of the Lord a great and a dreadful day. That is the day of the Lord. It's a great and a dreadful day, in particular to those who are not ready. But it will come, and it will come in suddenness. For when they, meaning unbelievers, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come. It will be quick, as lightning. It will be quick, and there will be no time to make any other arrangements, but it will be quick. It will be a sudden destruction. It will come upon them, the unbelievers, when they say peace and safety, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Those who are walking in a carnal state will not escape the suddenness of the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They will not escape. They will have assumed that they found their peace and their safety in the things of this world. But our peace and our safety comes in the Lord and in Him alone. Jesus Christ makes that very clear. Peace I give unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your soul be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We find our peace and our safety in the Lord. But when those who are walking with their senses and are thinking about this life and this life alone, they will think that if they put together some contracts or some things in this nation of the nations of this world, that there's going to be peace and safety. And when there's an agreement to those things and these declarations are made, the Bible here says that sudden destruction shall come upon them. And then he contrasts it and he says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief." We're not in darkness. And he says further, "Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day." When we listen to that voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," we are walking in the day. We are all then the children of light and the children of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we see that in John's epistle, he writes that in his gospel, but now in his epistle also he writes, "This then is the message that we have heard of him, of Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." We are all the children of light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there will be no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. If we walk in a carnal way, if we walk in a way that we're looking for peace and safety in this world, we're looking for the comforts of this life, if we're looking for the good of this life, if we're looking to have the advantage in this life, we're walking in darkness and we do not have fellowship with him. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Ours is to walk in the light. If we're walking in the light, the day of the Lord will not be a dreadful day, but it will be a day filled with joy and filled with an anticipation of this hope in Him. And so the Apostle Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing and saying, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And then he starts going now here into this way of how we can be walking in the light, walking with an eternal perspective, not looking at those things which are temporal, but those things which are eternal, being persuaded that our citizenry is not of this earth, but it is in heaven. And we are looking at those things which are eternal, that for that city, that new Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is God. And we're declaring plainly that we are seeking a better land. And so this here now is where he starts speaking of these things. Let us watch and be sober. And then he says, but let us who are of the day be sober. To be sober, to be clear-minded. To be clear-minded in our thought processes, to be aware of those things which are surrounding us, aware of all these things, and clear in Him. And then putting on the breastplate of faith and of love. Having faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Not in anything of this world, but in Jesus Christ. That's where our faith lies. In the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, in that which He has done, His death and His resurrection, and the hope that we have of that salvation through Him. Our faith is alone in Jesus Christ. And when we walk in that way, we will be the children of light. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, and we will have fellowship one with another, and we will be walking in the light even as God is light. And then he also speaks of love, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. We know the two greatest commandments, to one being that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the two greatest commandments. And when we walk in love, we know that we are walking in the light. We are walking with Jesus Christ. And we know that we are heeding then the promptings and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Some can have a very great self-discipline and a strong desire to do great things. But the Bible says if it's not coupled in love or not driven by love, if the engine of that desire is not love, then it means nothing. The Apostle Paul writes, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He doesn't say it profits me little. He says it profits me nothing. Even if I were to give, to have my body to be burned and give all my possessions to the poor, if it's not driven by love, it's unprofitable. Unprofitable in every sense. So we are to love God and love Him alone. And not allow anything of this world to have a place in our hearts that would challenge our love that we have for the Lord. But that we would love Him with our all. Love Him with our all. And then again, we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and it's a word behind us that's speaking into our ears, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. Walk in sobriety. Walk with faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Walk in love. The Bible says that God is light. We read that this morning. God is love. And we are to walk in love. Walk with Him as He would have us to do. Love Him with our all. Nothing else. Love him with our all. And then Jesus Christ also, the teachings throughout the scriptures, that we are to love our brother, we are to love our neighbor, and we are to love our enemy. We are to love all. Whether it's our brother, neighbor, or enemy, we are to love all. This is what the way of the Lord is calling us to. And when we do such things, that the day of the Lord isn't going to catch us unawares. We are walking in his ways. We are walking in his ways. And though it might be sudden, though it might not be in a time that we know of, but we are walking in his ways, and all is well, and all is good. And then he says, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Same description he's using in Ephesians chapter 6 he's using here, having that for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Having a hope that is in the promises of God, in the Word and in the Word alone, just as our faith is. Just as our faith is in Jesus Christ and in him alone, our hope is in the promises of God and in nothing else. Nothing else. There is no institution of this world that where we can place our hope in. But we can place our hope in the promises of God and know that with that all will be well. We are looking forward with great anticipation to that day of the Lord, to what the Lord will accomplish. That's what our hope brings about, a confident expectation and looking forward to with great anticipation in these things. This is where our hope lies. Again, the Bible speaking of God as the God of hope as well. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's will for us, for all mankind, that we would all be the children of light, that we would all be saved and come to that knowledge of the truth. So he has not appointed us to wrath, and in that we can have joy, and in that we have hope, and in that we place our faith, and we walk in his way because he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise that that eternal city, that new Jerusalem, will come down from heaven. And we will be inhabitants of that new Jerusalem. That will be where we are citizens of. And in this we have hope. And in this we rejoice. Even as the day of the Lord would come. Who died for us, Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. In the previous chapter, he's speaking of not to be sorrowful about those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, but to know that we will all be brought up together. First, the dead in Christ shall rise, and then those of us that are alive will be gathered together with him, and so shall we be with him forever. And so we have this salvation that is by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, it doesn't matter whether we're dead or alive, we should live together with him, and that for all eternity. This is what we have hope in. This is what gives us joy, because this is the promises of God. It is written here. And we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will not pass away. And so we can have joy and hope and faith in that which is written here in the scriptures. And then he says further, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Comfort yourselves. Encourage each other. Provide that comfort one toward another. Again, the previous chapter, he closes that chapter by saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And all who have lived faithful, all who have listened to that voice that spoke behind them into their ear, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and were obedient to that voice, it doesn't matter if they're dead or if they're alive, we will all be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with him forever. And then he's saying, now comfort yourselves together with these words. And again, now he's saying again, comfort yourselves together. God is a God of comfort. Likewise, even as he is a God of hope, a God of light, a God of love, he is a God of comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, blessed be God, the God of all comfort. That's who our God is. He is the God of all comfort. This is a description of him. He is a God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God is a God of comfort. And here in Corinthians and in Thessalonians, he's saying comfort each other. And we can comfort each other because we have received ourselves comfort of the Lord. Perhaps it was a difficult situation that we went through, and then we see somebody else going through a similar situation that we can remember, oh yes, in my distress, the God of comfort gave me comfort. Now I can go share that with that individual and comfort them likewise. Comfort them likewise. And just as a God is a God of love, we have been loved by God. We share that love with others. Likewise, we receive comfort from God, and we can comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. And so he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together. And then he says, and edify one another, even as also ye do. The Apostle Paul had a relationship with the Thessalonians. He knew them. He spent time in their synagogues. He had spent time in their homes. He had spent time with them. He was persecuted. They were persecuted. They had difficulty with persecution here in Thessalonica. And so he's saying to them, comfort yourselves one to another, with another. Edify one another, even as also ye do. He knew that they were doing these things, and he's saying, continue in them. Actually, in the previous chapter, he's saying the same thing, that they would increase the more and more, even in those things which they were already doing. And so he's saying the same thing here. Even as also ye do. Edify one another. Edify. Encourage and help and strengthen. May the things that come forth from our mouth be that which would be for the use of edifying. To the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. To the use of edifying. Apostle Paul is saying, edify one another, even as you are already doing, do it more. And so he's saying, what should come out of our mouth is that which is good, that which is good, coming out of our mouth, to the use of edifying, to the use of building each other up. We have a common God. We have a common plan of salvation, and we also have a common enemy. And so we are to edify one another. That may that which proceeds out of our mouth be that which is good to the use of edifying, to the use of building up, to the use of encouraging others. And then he says further, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Minister grace to the hearers. That it might, the words that would come out of our mouth would serve, would edify, would minister to that, to the use of helping other individuals. This is what the Lord is calling us to. This is that voice that speaks in the back of us, still and small voice, and it comes into our ears, and it says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Let that good communication come out of your mouth so that it might be used to edify another. Again, doing all these things, because we know that the day of the Lord is coming. And then he says further, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." The Apostle Paul recognized that there was an establishment in the synagogues, in the churches there, that there would be those who would be over them in the Lord. And they were, and one of their roles would be to admonish the believers there. And then it says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." To esteem them very highly. This is what the scriptures are saying. This is what allows us to be the children of the day. This is what allows us to hear that prompting of the Holy Spirit and directing us that we would esteem in very highly in love those that are over us in the Lord. This is what the Word of God is speaking. And this is how we will be ready for the day of the Lord, that great and dreadful day. And then he finishes here by saying, "And be at peace among yourselves." Be at peace among yourselves. The Holy Spirit will only direct us to be at peace among ourselves. The writer in Hebrews says it's not coming to mind, so I want to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." It will be a great and it will be a dreadful day, the day of the Lord, if we are not following peace with all men. God is a God of peace. God is a God of peace. He wants us to dwell in peace. God is a God of love. He wants us to dwell in love. God is a God of comfort. He wants us to comfort one another. God is a God of light. In Him is no darkness at all. We are to walk in the light. And if we have peace one with another, we are walking in the light. We live in the flesh. We live on a cursed earth. And there will be tribulation and there will be difficulty. But ours is to have peace with all men. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." God is a God of peace. In Jesus Christ, we can have peace. And then when we take that peace and we share that peace one with another. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ has overcome the world. In Him we can have peace. And then earlier in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Not when the world would say peace and safety. Now we're going to have an absence of war. All wars are done. There's going to be no sudden destruction will come upon them, the Bible says. But Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have peace in Jesus Christ. Peace in Him, because God is a God of peace. And then we take that peace and we share it one with another. So this is how we can listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and walk in this way, and then know that when that great and terrible day, great and dreadful day of the Lord will come, that we will be ready. That we will be ready. And so again, the Apostle Paul speaks of just these eight things in these 13 verses that we read of. And he wrote them in the context of the day of the Lord. He writes that we should be sober. He writes that we should have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He writes that we should have love. Love for God and for Him, and then love for our brother, for our neighbor, and for our enemy, that we should have the hope of salvation, that our faith would be anchored upon the promises of God that are written in Him, and then that hope would grant unto us a joy that carries us through. We are to have comfort one toward another. We are to edify one toward another. We are to esteem those who are over us in the Lord very highly in love for their work's sake. And we are to be at peace one with another. This is the way of the Lord. Whether the Lord comes today or if he comes in 1,000 years from now, this is the way that we are to be walking in. This is the way that we are to be walking in. And God will bless us. Our lives will be filled with peace. We will have that peace from him. We will have that love from him. We will experience that comfort that comes from him when we are walking in his ways. When we are striving to please him well in all things. May he grant us grace day by day that we would walk in his ways. Amen.